Begin the current daven. Let's get in daf lamed aleph. We begin 7 lines down from the top of the yamid, where the Gemara continues with the next mishnah. Again, continuing the theme of the previous mishnah is discussing this halacha concept known as chazaka, and that is chazaka demikara, the state that the situation was up until now. We assume that that's as it was, and that's as it is right now, and therefore the halacha could remain based on what we knew up until now. So, related to this context, the mishnah tells us hamenich peiros. The halacha is that a person, when he has tevel, untithed produce, he has to separate trumas, maestras. Now, the person has designated, he already took specific fruits, and he put that away, and he says, I don't want this to get mixed up, I know that has to go to the kohen, has to go to the levi, has to go in certain places. So he puts certain fruits that are separated, that when he needs to, when he's finishing the new crop, he'll say, okay, I know how much truma maestra I have to take off from this crop. I have in that room designated already produce that I'm going to be specifying that they're earmarked for trumas and maestras. Or, for example, mo'is, liyis mafresh alein maestr sheni. Where the halacha is by maestr sheni, which is the second tithe. The first one is given to the Levi, that's Maaser Rishon. Maaser Sheni is that the person himself has to take up to Yerushalayim and eat it there. Now, not everyone could go ahead and take all their Maaser Sheni and bring it to Yerushalayim. So what the process is that you're paid, you're mechalal it onto money, you say that this amount of fruit is worth this amount of money. Therefore, you take that money, bring it up to Yerushalayim, and then you could use it to buy food and consume it within Yerushalayim. So the person did the same thing. He had, okay, I know in my drawer I have that $10,000, and that's how much Maaser Sheni I have, that I have ready so that when I'm going to be processing my produce, I'll have, for the Maaser Sheni, I won't have to separate from these produce, I'll have the money already designated over there. So it tells us the Mishnah, Mafresh Alein B'cheskes Shein Kayamin. So a person could separate those Trumas and Maasers and the Maaser Sheni with the assumption that that is still there. In other words, he could rely on that fruit that he set aside, or that money that he set aside, and then he could go ahead and eat what up until now was his tevel, was his untithed produce, and he just says, look, those fruits that I separated over there, they're the trumas for this tevel produce that I have over here, and he could constantly do that, as long as he knows the quota of how much he separated, and he didn't yet reach that amount yet, he could continue to be separating his trumas and maestras based on the chazaka, that those fruits are still there, or that money is still there, where he left it. Now, then that's again the halacha of chazaka. Now, however, the Mishnah says, if let's say he decides to go check and he finds that avdu, they're lost, they're not there. Up the whole time I was eating these produce or this maaser sheni with the assumption that I knew that I had it was being separated over there and that there's not even there. The money's not there, the fruits are not there. So the Mishnah says, hareza chayshish. So now the person has to be concerned and suspect that those tevel, those untithed produce that he had fixed with the assumption that it was with the guarantee of those fruits that he had separated, which he turns out they're not even there, he has to be concerned. Now, what that means halachically is, let's say he didn't yet eat those fruits that he had separated based on the premise of those fruits over there that he had separated, then he would have to separate from them again. Because maybe at the time when he said that those fruits are going to be truma, by those fruits that are separated over there, maybe they were already lost. I mean, if they got lost at a later point in time, okay, that was truma that was lost. But we don't know. Maybe he never even separated truma from it, because maybe at the time when he says, oh, okay, you know, let the truma, that 1/50th of this produce, be those fruits over there, maybe they weren't even there then at that time. If they're already lost, you didn't do any hafreshes truma, you didn't do any hafreshes maestras, and therefore that's full-fledged tevel, and therefore you would have to go ahead and be concerned and separate again trumas and maestras. And this is me'es li'es for a period of 24 hours, which the Gemara is going to explain what does that mean, where are we measuring this 24 hours from, which is you have to be concerned that maybe it wasn't there at that time, and therefore it's not a valid trumas and maestras, and you would have to do it again. That's the Rebbe Elazar. That's the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. Now the Mishnah moves on and says that Rebbe Yehuda Omer, he says, again, based on this halacha, where a person is separating based on something else, trumas and maestras, where there's a chazaka that, okay, that thing is still there and you could separate based on that, but that there are times when you have to be concerned, especially if you check and it's not there. So Rebbe Yehuda tells us, b'shleisha prokem b'itkin es hayayin. 3 periods during the year, a person has to inspect his wine, meaning, again, the same concept, where if, let's say, he left wine, he has a few barrels of wine, he's like, okay, these wines I don't care to drink. I'm going to use it as my designated truma meiser wine, where according to the volume that he's separating, that he has from his tevel, will be designated over here in these barrels. So that's what Rebbe is telling us, that you have to check those barrels to see if they soured, if they turned into vinegar, because halacha is you can't separate from vinegar onto wine. So you have to make sure that it's still wine. So Rebbe says three times during the year you have to check it. One is bekidum shel maitzeh achag, which means the word kidum is from the word kadim, which is from east, when the eastern wind blows at the end of the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Ubaitzas smadar, which is the second time, which is during the year when the blossoms, the petals of the grape leaves fall off, which is that's when the beginning of when you could start seeing the order of the cluster of grapes beginning to develop. And the third time is ubashas kinesis mayim bebaiser, where there's two interpretations in Rashi. The baiser is when the grapes are very small, but more than smadar, which is when they're the size of like a white bean. That's when they're baiser. Now that's when a small amount of moisture enters into the grapes, where you would be able to squeeze out a little bit. That's what the Mishnah is calling kinesis mayim, when there's a gathering of liquid into the baiser, into the small grapes. That's again a certain period during the year. That would be another time when you would have to check the wine to make sure it didn't sour. Another interpretation in Rashi is that actually what they used to do is that when the grapes were very small, these unripe grapes, when they were baiser, they used to put it into water and squeeze it together, and they would make some type of vinaigrette to dip into. That was kinesis mayim bebaiser. When you put the water together with the baiser, that's the time when they would have to go ahead and check. So those are three times during the year when you have to check your wine to make sure it didn't spoil you. Okay, now the Mishnah, now the Gemara explains what we had mentioned, this phrase of Rebbe Eliezer. He says, look, if you kept on separating truvim and maizes based on those fruits, turns out it's not even there. Now, I don't know when it wasn't there to know which produce that I had separated based on all this time on my chazakah that it wasn't okay. So Rebbe Eliezer says that it's me'es li'es. So the Gemara asks, my me'es li'es, what does it mean that for a period of 24 hours you have to be concerned? So there's two interpretations. Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says, me'es li'es shel bedika. From 24 hours from when you checked it. In other words, if you go ahead, let's say for 6 months, you've been relying on those produce. Say, oh, I put away tons over there. And I know how much, and yet not tevel, because I know we can rely on the trumas and isis. Now, he goes and he checks one day, and he finds that it's lost, it's not there. So from that time, 24 hours prior to that, you have to suspect that it was lost already. Now, therefore, if you had made some other produce based on those produce meiser within the last 24 hours, then you would have to go ahead and re-separate again because of this doubt. But more than 24 hours from before that you had checked it, the rabbi said you don't have to be concerned. Rather, you could rely on the halacha of chazakah. Chazakah tells you that it was around all that time. Now, but if you're checking right now, so for a period of 24 hours before, we could assume that maybe it wasn't there. But anytime before 24 hours, you could rely on the chazakah and you wouldn't have to re-separate. He says, as we continue on Tamid Beis, he says, actually, it's going on 24 hours from when you had placed it. In other words, you have to go ahead and be suspect retroactively all the days, let's say 6 months ago, was you and you had closed the door to that room and you said, okay, I know I have all this produce, all this wine over here that's going to be designated for my trumas and maizes. Then he left. Now, for one day after that day, you could rely on the chazakah that they were as they were at that time. But from then on, after 24 hours, it's a situation of doubt. We don't know when they got lost or what happened to it. So from that day on, for the next, let's say it was 6 months, you would have to go ahead and redo all those tefillin that you had separated based on that chazakah, because we see that it's not there. We don't know when they got lost. So it's really two opposite ends. Does me'es li'es mean to say within the last 24 hours of when you checked, but anything before that is okay? Or it's actually 24 hours from when you had placed it there, and anything past that is not good. Now, the Gemara asks on this last interpretation. Now, we learned in our Mishnah, the words were im avdu, if you come and you check and they're lost. Hareza chayshish me'es li'es. So you have to be suspect for a period of 24 hours. Now, it sounds like that it's only for one day that you have to suspect. You're chayshish it for a period of me'es li'es. So the Gemara asks, according to the one who says that it means only the 24 hours from when you had checked. So Shabbat, that makes sense. Only for a period of 24 hours is it going to cause problems for anything that was within the last day. But according to the last interpretation, it says that it's regarding 24 hours from when you had placed it, meaning to say that actually all the time period that had elapsed since then is under suspicion. Besides the first day that you had placed it there, So hai me'is li'eis, that's not an appropriate terminology of saying that you're cheshish for me'is li'eis. Rather, it should say that you're concerned retroactively ad me'is li'eis me'boyle. It should have said that actually the concern is up until the first 24 hours. But not that you're only concerned for 24 hours. Actually, you're concerned for all the months that it was like that. Only up until the 24 hours would it not be a problem. The Gemara says kasha, which it doesn't say tiyuftu, which is a refutation. The term kasha always means say it's a difficulty, but it's not a refutation because according to that mandama, it should have said not me'es li'es, but rather ad me'es li'es. Now the Mishnah said that this, what we explain, is divrei Belazar. Was the words of Belazar where he said, again, you can rely generally on the chazaka, on the presumptive state that it was as it is. But if you check, then you have to be concerned for 24 hours. Again, whatever that means, does that mean the last 24 hours? Or up until the first 24 hours of when you had placed it and set it aside for Trumas HaMaisis. Now, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar the Amayra, in other words, as Rashi says, Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas is the Amayra mentioned in the Gemara saying Amar Rabbi Lazar. Now, the Rabbi Lazar of the Mishnah is Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua. He's the one mentioned in Mishnais and Brises, so although they're both Rabbi Lazar, one's Amayra explaining the words of the Tan and Mishnah. So Rabbi Lazar the Amayra says, Chalukin olav chaverav al Rabbi Lazar, that the colleagues of Rabbi Lazar in our Mishnah disputed his halacha in our Mishnah. And they said that actually you always have to be concerned. And the reason being is because since you come, you find that it's lost. So any produce that was fixed based on those set-aside periods, you would have to go ahead and do it over. Not like Rabbi Lazar, again, whichever interpretation you go with, whether it's, in other words, the Chiddush would be even before 24 hours, it would be forever, or even according to the interpretation that said it's up until the first 24 hours, would hold no, even in those 24 hours, no chazak is going to help, according to this opinion that Rabbi Lazar is quoting from the colleagues that argue in Rabbi Lazar. They hold that it's always a problem. Now, there is no time that you're going to be relying on the chazakah, again, retroactive, when you find that it's lost. It's not, as he proves from the Mishnah Maseches Mikvayos. So they'll take halacha from another context, which will show us that if you relied on something of a chazaka, but then you find that it was flawed, and we don't know when it got flawed, that then you lose all that chazaka, and there's never going to be a time that you're going to rely on the chazaka. The Mishnah says, regarding a mikvah, the ritual bath, which up until now was, there was a chazaka, there was a presumptive state that it was whole, that it had the 40 sa, which was required, but shenim that after, at a later point in time, they decided to measure it. V'nimtzachaser, turns out it's lacking. It didn't have the requisite shear of being a kosher mikvah. Says the Mishnah, kol taharis shenasu al gabav, so all purifications that were done based on this mikvah, in other words, all trumais and taharis, which were required the utility of this mikvah, how so? For example, of let's say certain utensils which were used with truma, or people regarding their consumption were immersed themselves in this mikvah, says the Tanya of the Mishnah. So lemafreya, retroactively, bain, whether if the mikvah was b'rishus hayachid in the private domain, where generally that's always more stringent, because the halacha is that a safek tumah b'rishus hayachid, when there's a doubt of something being tumah in the private domain, the safek is going to be said that it's going to be tumah as a stringency. And even bain b'rishus harabim, or even if the mikvah is in the public domain, where although generally the halacha is that a doubt, which that's what we're talking about, we're in doubt here, when did it get losing its requisite share regarding if the things were tahar when it was tabled or tameh, where generally the halacha is that the doubt, we say that it's tahar, even here it's going to be tameis, it's going to be tameh. Now the reason being is because when do we say a suffix tumah b'shus harabim, that a doubtful tumah in the public domain is tahar, that's only if you're not sure, did it touch, did it not touch, where you could say that it didn't touch. But here, it's definitely going to, the thing that was immersed in the mikveh was definitely tameh. Now, the only thing is, you want to know, did it purify it? Now, you can't say that out of doubt that it purified it. In other words, the doubt will say that the chazaka was that you were tahar. Now, did you touch the sheretz? Did you not? Okay, in safek, tameh b'shus harabim will say you remain with your chazaka that you're tahar. Here, it's the other way around. Here, whatever was being immersed in the mikveh was tameh. The only thing is, we have a suffix, did the mikveh purify it or not? We're not sure did the mikveh have the share at that time or not. That we can't say misafik that it was mitaret. So therefore, what you see from this Mishnah is that it doesn't differentiate. It says whatever was done based on this mikveh, although we were relying on the chazaka that had the share, we didn't know there was a leak at the bottom of the mikveh and that at some point in time the 40 so was no more. Here we see that it doesn't make a difference. Everything is going to be considered tameh, not like Rabbi Lazar of the Mishnah, who said that no, only last 24 hours, let's say, according to that opinion, you can't rely on it. But before that, you could. Or even according to the other interpretation, at least the first 24 hours of when you, let's say, would make the mikvah, you would be able to rely on it. Here, this Tana, this Chaveirim, our Chalik and Rebbe Lazar, even regarding the Me'es Lies, not the Gemara asks, Pshita de Chalukin. What do you mean? It's pretty obvious from this Mishnah that they argue in Rebbe Lazar. So the question of the Gemara is, what is Rebbe Lazar ben Medos coming to teach us? The Mishnah says explicitly that there's not even the Chazaka even before the Me'es Lies. So why do we need Rebbe Lazar to tell us this? So the Gemara says, no, ma'adu tem ma'il ma'frei. We would have thought to say in explanation of that Mishnah Masechtas Mikvos, that what does it mean that retroactively whatever tiras were done on that mikvah is going to be tamei? That's only me'es li'es, according to whichever interpretation you say for Rebbe Lazar. Let's say according to the one that says that it's only in the last 24 hours. But before that, they would agree to Rebbe Lazar that it's going to be tahar. Kamash Malan, that's Rebbe Lazar, but that's coming to teach us that no, with that the way you interpret the Mishnah in Mikvah is that everything is going to be Tameh, which again is not like Rebbe Lazar, who says it's only for Me'es Li'es, but beyond that is going to be Tahar, and the Chachamim argue on Rebbe Lazar in the Mishnah Mesechtas Mikvah. Now the next part of the Mishnah from Rebbe Yehuda, I mean, he said, Begimel Paraka Mechulu, he said that during three times of the year, you have to go ahead and check the wine to make sure that it didn't sour and turn into vinegar, so that you can rely on it in the separation of Trumas Amaisis on the rest of a person's produce. Now, the Gemara explains, learn the Braisa, where the first time period was, that you have to check the wine, was Bekidim Shel Moitza HaChag, which was in the eastern wind blows at the end of the Yom Tov of Sukkis, explains the Braisa Shel Tekufa. That's only if it already entered what's called Tekufas Tishrei, which was already the autumnal equinox, which is basically the winter, turning into the winter period. But if, let's say, the Tekufas Tamas, which is the summer period, extended till the period now of the end of Sukkot, then actually then you wouldn't have to check it. It's only if you already moved on, passed into the already entered Tekufas Tishrei, that's when you would have to go ahead and check the wine. Now the Gemara goes into a longer discussion now regarding the eastern wind, which is what we're discussing, regarding obviously its impact on the wine to see if it's soured, and related to all the other winds. So Tanya learned the Braisa. Yehuda Aimer, he says, "Begimel Parakim Meicher Nesatvua." He says that during, and this is obviously related to the concept of our Mishnah, which was that three times you check the wine. So here Rabbi Yehuda says, during three times does a person sell his produce. One is Lefnei Hazera, before the planting season, so that people have the produce to be able to plant. Ubish as hazera, and during the planting season, which Tasek explains, that's the end of the planting season, where everyone already planted what they had, and they realized they were lacking in, they needed more to plant, so therefore a person would be able to sell then, also because people would want to buy then. And ubefreis ha-pesach, which price is 15 days before the Yom Tov of Pesach, where the Bar Tanur Masechet Shkalim explains, because since 30 days before Yom Tov is a significant period, which is the time when we're Shoyelim B'doshim B'Hilchas HaChag, when people discuss the Halachas of the Yom Tov, so price is a term of Prusa, which is half, so half of that 30 days is 15 days before Pesach, that would also be a time when a person sells his produce. So too, B'Shloshet Prakim Meicher Nesayayin, there's three periods when a person sells his wine. One is the Preis HaPesach, which is basically the Shalosh Regalim when people need wine, 15 days before Pesach, or the Preis HaTzeres, in the period before Shavuos, or the Preis HaChag, in the period before the Yom Tov of Sukkos. And the Shemen, Me'atzeres Ve'elech, on wine, a person sells from Shavuos onward. Now the Gemara asks, Lamai Hilchazah, what is the halachic significance of these halachas of Rabbi Huda, that this is when you sell your produce, this is when you sell your wine, why can't you sell whenever you want to? So Amar Rava says, V'item, and some say it was Rav Papa, you're right, the halacha is L'shutfen, for partners. In other words, that one partner cannot go ahead and sell something without the consent of his other partner, except for these periods which Rabbi Huda delineated, where then, however, regarding these periods, you don't have to go ahead and ask if he agrees, because these are the hot times when you sell. Now, moreover, what that means to say is, if let's say he sold during these times without asking his partner, and actually the market price went up afterwards, so thus they're losing out a little bit, the other partner can't say, what are you doing? You sold without asking me. You should have asked me. Now you have to compensate me for our part of our loss. No, that's what you just come to explain. During these periods, this is the hot times. Even if you're a partner, you could sell without your partner's acquiescence. Now the Gemara asks me, Kamba Elechmai, what's with after these periods? So Amar Rava, he says, Kol yoyma pirkehu. You're right. After that time, then every day is its time, because the hot time is then. After that, it just, you want to be able to get the items sold, the produce and the wine sold. That would also be the same concept, where it's time to sell, and therefore, even with partners, you want to go ahead and be able to sell it then. Now, relating again to this concept of the Ruach HaKidum, the eastern wind, the Gemara brings the following pasuk in Yoina. It says, that it was when the sun, that it is when the sun rises, and Hashem prepares the eastern wind that's very strong. Now, the Gemara says, my charishas, what does it mean, charishas? Obviously, it's connoting that it's a strong wind, but what does the term charishas have to do with the term strength, with the eastern wind? So Rabbi Yehuda, he explains, Bishom Meshem Nasheves, at the time when the eastern wind blows, Eisad Tlomim Tlomim Bayam, it makes, like, as if a plow would make the furrows in the field. That's what the eastern wind is so strong and mighty, it makes like furrows in the sea, which is from the term of charishas, of chayrish, of plowing. Now, on that, Amalei Rabba asks on Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Ihachi, if that's the interpretation of the charishas, well, Hainu Dechsib, well, this that it says over there in the Pasuk, in the meaning there in that same Pasuk in Yoina, it says, Vatacha Shemesh al Rosh Yoina, it says that the sun was beating down the head of Yoina, but he's Aleph and he was feeling faint. In other words, what he's asking him is that the Pasuk's obviously coming to testify that it was very hot there in the world. And you're saying that the Pasuk is talking about the strength and the mightiness of the wind, and that's why he changed the term of Harishas, but seemingly that's not what the Pasuk is coming to say. According to your interpretation, the Pasuk is coming to say how mighty and windy it was. But I'm telling you, if you read the Pasuk, you see it's not coming to say that. It's coming to say actually how hot it is. So Elamar Rabba, rather Rabba gives a different interpretation for Charishas. It says, B'shoa Shem Nasheves, at the time when the eastern wind blows, at a time when it's hot outside, so then it actually makes it very hot. Why? How does this, why would the eastern wind, which is Charishas, when it's hot outside, when we're trying to say how great and mighty this eastern wind is, how does it make it hotter? Because that's obviously the puzzle is coming to say how, oh, he was feeling so faint, Yoina. Because at the time when it blows, mashtekes kalaruchis mipaneho, it silences all the other winds. In other words, it stops the cool wind of all the other winds, of all the other directions. And actually, that's why it changes it to specifically call it charishes from the term of like a cheresh, which is silent, that's mute. It silences all the other winds. That's what it says in the Pasuk in Iyev, Asher begedecha cham, and that which is your garments are warm, b'hashkit eretz midarim, when the land is silenced from the southern wind. What does that mean? So Amar of Tachlivi bar Chizda, Amar of Chizda says, Emasa begedecha cham, and when is it that you're warm in your clothing? B'shor shehishkit eretz midarim, at the time when the land is silenced from the southern wind, when the cool southern wind is not blowing. Now, what silences the southern wind? It's the eastern wind that silences. That's Shebeshosh Shemin HaSheves, because at the time when the eastern wind blows, Mashtekes Kalaruches Mepaneh, it silences all the other winds. So actually when it's hot outside and the eastern wind is blowing, it's Charishes, it's like a Cheresh, it silences the cool, let's say the southern wind from blowing, and that's why it actually made Yoina so hot, Fayis Aleph. Now, continuing on this theme, Rav Huna, Rav Chizda HaBayasvi, these two Amorim were sitting, and then Geneva passed them by. So Amachal Lachavir, one said to the other, let's stand up for Geneva, who is passing by because he's a Talmudic scholar. So Amali Idach, the other one, said to him, we should stand up for someone that's fights, that's contesting, because as the Gemara brings on in earlier in the Masechta of Zayin and Aleph, that he was quarreling with Mar Ukva, who is the Av Bezdin. Where, as Marukva said, that there are certain people that are bothering me, and I can give them over to the government, who, as the Gemara there explains, that was Geneva. So it says, hey, maybe it's a Talmud Chacham, but it's definitely not someone that we should show any respect and deference for. Adahachi asked the Ulagabai, but in the meantime that they were having this discussion, so Geneva came to them. So Amalahu, he said to them, Bamayaskisu, what are you learning? What are you guys discussing? So Amalei Baruchis, they said, we're discussing the winds. So Amalahu, he said to them, Hachi Amrav Chanam Barabba Amarav. Says, Dal Ruchis Menashvis Bechol Yom. There are four winds that blow every single day. Veruach Tzefaynis Menashvis Im Kulan. And he says that the northern wind blows with all of them. In other words, because it's a very calming wind, not too hot, not too cold. It sweetens and it harmonizes all and synthesizes all the other winds. And he explains, Shemalekain, because if not for the northern wind blowing with all the other winds, The world would not be able to survive even for one moment, because again, you need the northern wind to be able to give it that perfect balance. Now, and moreover, he says, and the southern wind is the most harsh of all of them. Whereas we said before, it's what gives the cool wind. And if not for this angel who's made like a net, like a hawk, Mamida, that's stopping the southern wind with its wings, Machrevas Kolayim Kulam Mipanei, it would destroy the whole world. Shneim, like it says the pasuk in Eve, where Hashem was rebuking Eve, like, what do you know? What do you think? You think you're like Hashem? Hamivinascha Yaver Netz, you think from your understanding that you can have this angel that's like a net, that's with its Yaver from a term of Aver, meaning that it stretches out its wings. Yifreis Kanafa of Lateman, that spreads out its wings to the south. In other words, you think you know the world, you think you could have like me who has angels stopping the southern wind? And that is, again, we see the concept over here where it's, if not for this angel stopping the southern wind, it would destroy the world. Again, continuing on the same type of discussion, we have Rav Avraham Nachman by Yitzchak HaBayasvi, two other Amiram that were sitting, again, and similarly, Havachal of Azor of Nachman Yaakov. And Rav Nachman Yaakov was passing them by. The Yosef Beguharka de Dehavi was sitting in this type of royal nobleman type of a carriage, which was made out of gold. Uparasaleu Sarbalo de Karta, and he was covered with this coat that was made out of, that was with a type of a bluish type of a dye that's similar to leek. It's like some type of bluish green, a greenish type of a color. So Rava Ozlagabe, so Rava went to him. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak lo Ozlagabe, he didn't go, he continued sitting. Amar, he said, Dilma Me'inchi Debeirish Golusininu, he says, obviously it was a royal carriage, so Rava went to see who is this dignitary. But he said that maybe this is just one of the people of the household of the Resh Galusa, who that was the house of royalty amongst the Jewish people when they're in exile. So he says, look, Rava Tzarachlahu, Rava needs them, where he maybe needs to, if he needs a favor from the royalty at some point. Anolay Tzrichnilu, he says, I don't need them, because as Rashi explains, the Rav Nachman Yitzchak was the son-in-law of the Resh Galusa. Whereas the Gemara explains in Masechta Shkulin, the Kof Chav Talmud Av, says that he didn't need any ties and connections with the Resh Galusa's house, because he's the son-in-law, he's the Edom. But Rava went, now, could the Chazid of Nachman Yaakov have, when Rav Nachman Yitzchak saw that who it actually was in that carriage, that was Rav Nachman Yaakov, oh, so he says, not just about currying favor with the dignitaries, it was actually a big Talmud Chacham, so Azal Gabesa, he went to him. Now, Goli, Rav Nachman Yaakov revealed Ledare to his arm. And the reason being is because the eastern wind was blowing and it was making him very hot. As we explained before, on a hot day, when it blows, it makes it really hot. So when he rolled up his sleeves, Amar, so he said, Shad Yenoshev, he says that the carriage is being blown, in other words, because of the hot wind that's blowing on it, it's actually making him very hot, and that's why he's rolling up his sleeve. So that started a whole conversation, where Amar Rava says, oh, Hochi Amar Rav, this is what Rav says regarding the eastern wind, that actually Ishma Pelesboy, it makes a woman miscarry. Where Shmuel Amar Shmuel said, Afilim Argolish Shebeyamar Kevesboy, that even the pearl in the sea could rot from the eastern wind. And Rabbi Yechonam, he says, Afila Shech Vazer, says, even the semen within 3 days, which usually is viable, Shebemei Isha, that's in the woman's womb, Masreches Boy, could also putrefy, just from the eastern wind, from, again, as we mentioned before, the intense heat that it causes. Now, Amr of Nachman Yitzchak, he commented, and he says, V'shloshtin mekor echad darshan. The Rava that you said over these three interpretations, they actually all learn it from the same pasuk in Hosea, where the pasuk there says, Kihu, because he is, that even though it's Bein Achim Yafri, that's fruitful between the brothers, but Yavei Kadim will come the eastern wind, Ruach Hashem in Midbar Oila, the wind of Hashem will come up from the desert, V'yevish Mekayroi, and the source will dry up, V'goymer, etc., where the Pasuk there says, and this is Nahishaya Perakud Gimel Pasuk Tesvah, V'yachar Mayonai, and his fountain will dry up, who Yishsa Eitzer Kol Kli Chemda, who will plunder the treasures of the entire, where all the precious vessels are kept. So on that is what Rav Nachman Yitzchak explains, that we see all these concepts that you mentioned, which again the Pasuk is talking about, as we said, Yavei Kadim, it's talking about the eastern wind. Where Yevish Mekayroi, the source drying up, Zu Mekayroi Shalisha, where we know as the woman's uterus, as her womb is always called the Mekayr, that's the source of the woman, where we say that even the fetus could be miscarried. V'yecher Mayanai, and that his his fountain will dry up. The fountain is a reference of the male where his semen will dry up even in the woman's uterus. And who yishtal itzer koklicham, this is that he will plunder all the treasures of the treasure house. Zumar gola shabayam, again, that's the same thing where it's the pearl is there in the oyster in the seabed, where even that could be destroyed and ruined from the eastern wind. That's how hot it is. Again, that's why he was rolling up his sleeves. He was so hot there in the carriage. Now, Amar Rava says, in the explanation of that pasuk, says, Adi Surahu, says, in other words, this thing that I'm saying is a testimony from the people of Surah, the Daiki Kroy, that they were very precise in their reading of Psukim, that they explain, Maikihu Beinachem Yafri. We explained the last part of the pasuk. What does the pasuk mean in the beginning? Again, based on this, we're talking about how hot is the eastern wind and what destruction it could cause. What does it mean that between brothers it is Yafri? So Rava says, Afila, as we continue on top of Lamed Bezim and Aleph, even Shufta, even a handle, Bikufina, in the hole that's at the top of the Mora, of the hoe, type of a utensil, Rafia, it gets soft. In other words, why we're calling it Bein Achim is because since it's usually so tight into the hole, it's called like between brothers where it's attached, but because of the heat, it causes it to just to soften, and even that gets loose. And again, that's the word Yafri is from the word Rafia, where you have the pay and the resh just turned around, where many times we find that relation where it has the same letters, but you could switch it. So Yafri is Rafia, again, that we see that even that, when it's so tight, it can get loose because of the eastern wind making everything so hot. Rabbi Yisrael Bama, he says, Afila sichse bedafna. He says, even a peg in the wall, Rafia, again, could get loose. In other words, it dries up because of the heat and makes it loose. Ravach bar Yaakov Bama, he says, Afila kanye bechufsa. Says even a reed that's woven into a basket, into a mat, Rafia, it could get loose just because of the heat of the eastern wind. Hanuloch Kalaget, we shall return to you the third parak in Masechtas Gittin, parak Kol Haget.